Yumadaf Lamed Dalad. We're on Yom Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We are picking up right where we left off previously. The Gemara gave us the Seder of Avodah according to Abaye in Yumadaf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Yesterday's Daf went through a step-by-step sequence of exactly how the Avodah is done every day in the Beis HaMikdash, giving us the precise order of how it is done based on a tradition that he had according to the Sheet of Abba Shaul. And so, after having quoted the 15 steps of Abaye, the Gemara went back and just simply revisited each one of the steps, going over the Makaros, the various sources of how we know of each of the steps. So, three of the steps that we are right now currently sitting on are the cleaning up of the menorahs, with the intervention, or I should say rather, the intermission in the middle of doing the dam tamid, the carbon of the dam tamid, shachting. Receiving and sprinkling of the carbon tamid. The Gemara now wants to know that there is an intermission. We already established in the previous daf why exactly there's an intermission and what exactly does that create. Machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish says that the intermission is there just simply to create more noise, more buzz, more excitement in the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Yochanan bases it on a drasha. The psukim indicate, not clearly, but at least there's a drasha that indicates that there has to be an intermission between them. Regardless, this intermission is going to be filled in with an activity, what that activity is. So according to Abaye, it's the Dam Tamid. The Gemara now just has a simple follow-up question, which is, why exactly is it broken up to 5 and 2? Meaning there are 7 menorahs, and we know we're going to have to break up somewhere along the way. So why is the intermission between 5 and 2? That's the Gemara's question. Simple. So Masha David HaTavish Chamesh Neres Bereisha, Navid HaTavish Dei Neres Bereisha. So why don't we clean 2 lamps first, and then have the intermission, and then do the 5? So the Gemara says, Kevin to Aschel Behu Avid Ruba. So the Gemara says, basically, the idea is as follows. Look, we're going to start with the Hatavas and Eros, cleaning up the lamps. Nevertheless, once we start, so at that point in time, we should cover the majority. So 5 is a majority. The Gemara says, Venavichis, 6 is also a majority. It's even a bigger majority. So the Gemara says, Amakra, Behetivo, Es Haneros, Yaktirena. So the Gemara says, no, that the Haktar is done while you are immediately after you clean the lamps, meaning that whatever is on the other side of the intermission, there has to be in the plural. So we know that the minimum of neros is 2. So that means to say that before the burning of the ketores, so there must be at least 2 lamps that are uncleaned and good. And then, so it's a drasha. So neros kodemus le ketores. Now, as far as the cleaning of the 2 lamps, then it is then it's followed by the burning of the ketores. So the Gemara says, and the source of that. So Amakar, the pasuk says, behetivo es haneros v'hadu yaktirena. Good, a simple reading way of reading the pasuk. You go back to the Gemara and you dalit here in Yuma, and remember the machlokas between Abishal and the Chachamim exactly how to read this pasuk. But again, as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, the entire presentation of the Seder is all according to the Shita of Abba Shaul. So obviously the drasha in terms of how we're understanding this pasuk is going to be according to Abba Shaul. Uketaros le'evarim, after the ketaros, then there's the burning of the limbs of the carbon tamid. So the tanya, we have a brisa, yuktam davish enemar baboker baboker, the davish elo nemar bo, ela boker echa bavad. So the ketaros, the Torah uses the double language of baboker baboker, evarim, only one boker is used. So given that those are your 2 options, so obviously the one with the double boker is going to go first. The evar la mincha, as we are now nearing the bottom of the amud. Now, after the burning of the limbs, then we have the mincha. As we pointed out, the mincha is really the mincha sesachim that comes together with the carbon tamid. And specifically over here, we're making reference to the flour and the oil. So, that nothing should go onto the mizbech before the tamid shoshachar. And how do I know that? What's the source of that? As we turn to the top of Lamed Alamed Aleph. So, Tamalama, the pasuk says, Varach Allah ha'ola v'amar rava ha'ola hi ola rishona. So the Ha'ola tells us that it is the number one, meaning the carbon tamid, the tamid shel shachar, has to come before any other of the carbonos. That means to say that it has to be the first one. Not only does it have to be the first one, but all aspects of it have to be first, meaning that the avarm of the tamid have to be burnt, and the mincha of the carbon tamid also has to be burnt as well, and it has to be number one. Tosos over here has a somewhat lengthy discussion in terms of what if I was in fact to offer another carbon prior to the carbon tamid. So is that is it possible? Is this just a din lechatchila? So see the top tosos for that discussion. In the meantime, however, we're going to continue. Minchas lechavitim. Now, after the mincha comes the chavitim. That's the minchas kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, "Olo mincha." If we read the pasuk says that what's going to be offered is olo mincha. Now, granted that this pasuk over here is in Parshas Zemar, not really connected, linked to the Karban Tumah, but still the idea is that the mincha is connected with the ola. So as long as we're offering the ola, we're offering the mincha as well. The chavitin and nesachim. Now, after the chavitin comes the nesachim, so shum mincha. So the Gemara goes on to explain why that should be. Because even though the chavitin is really a separate mincha, but it's still categorically, it's a mincha. So that means to say that we offer the carbon ola, we offer the menachos of the carbon ola. So that means to say the minchas nesachim, the carbon ola, as we already identified. And on top of that, also the minchas chavitim. The nesachim, it's true, it is connected to the carbon, but it's not the mincha of the carbon. And that's why first the minchas nesachim, then the chavitim, and then afterwards the nesachim. Nesachim and musafim, after the nesachim comes the musaf, zevach un nesachim. So again, the Gemara over here cites a pasuk. This also is at the towards the end of Parsha Zemor. Pasuk goes on to describe that it's zevach un nesachim. Again, nesachim is really an attachment to the carbon. So we offer the carbon, we offer the menachos of the carbon, now we're offering the nesachim, the carbon. And basically the nesachim, the wine that's connected with the carbon, is really the last part that accessorizes the carbon, and that's why it's going to be offered before offering the musaf, because musaf obviously is another carbon that is now, that comes only after all aspects of the carbon tamid are being offered. Now the musaf comes before the bezichin. Now again, I pointed this out in the previous stuff, but let's just reiterate and clarify. Musafim and the bezichin are only going to be offered when necessary. Musafim is offered when there's a carbon musaf, which would be Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yantiv. Bezichin are only offered on Shabbos. The bezichin are the two spoonfuls of Lavona that come on the top of the Shnei Sedarim of the Lechem Apanim, and they're only burnt on Shabbos. So obviously when Abai over here is giving us the Musaf and the Bezichin, it's obviously only on times when they're needed. Shabbos happens to be, there's both going to be Musaf and Bezichin. So in terms of the order, Musaf comes before the Bezichin. So the Hatayim, the Gemara says, okay, now in terms of this particular order, subject to a Machlokas, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Bezichin kodem le-Musaf, and the Bezichin come before the Musaf. So tonight, so the Gemara acknowledges, yep, you're absolutely right. This is subject to a Machlokas Tanayim, which precedes what? Does the Bezichin come before the Musafim or the Musafim before the Bezichin? Amar Abaye, Mistabra Kamanda Amar Musafim Kodmim LeBezichin. So Abaye says, look, I'm going to side with the position that the Musaf comes before the Bezichin. Why? So Lami Amar Babokar Babokar Lahaktim. Because look, when we have the double language of Babokar Babokar, that tells me that it should be as early as possible. So Hachanami Bayom Bayom LaAcher. So when it comes to the Bezichin, so we have the word Bayom and we also have the word Bayom. Right? Rashi cites the Psukim anyway, but you have the word Bayom twice by the Bezichin, that actually tells me that it has to be later into the day. So that's why, given the choice between Musaf and Bezichin, so Musafim should come before Bezichin, because Bezichin has the double yom, which actually tells us to push it off a little bit later. So my time of demand, Amar Bezichin, Kodmul and Musafim, good. So now that Abai gave us Svara, why the Musaf should come before the Bezichin, the Gemara wants to know, is there Svara to go in the other direction? The Gemara says, yes, there is. And the Gemara over here cites it. Gamar chuka chuka mechavitim. Because through Xavier Shava, so we learn out that just like you have the word chok by the chavitim, you also have it regarding the bezichin as well. And so the connection of the two now tells me that the chavitin and the bezichin should be as close to, as proximate to one another as possible. So imahasim gamar ligamar kula milsa mehasim. The Gemara says, okay. So then that means to say that the bezichin should come actually even before the musaf, meaning it should be close, more closely connected to the actual chavitim. So lahachi yahani bayom bayom la'acher. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you have to, it has to be counterbalanced, because we do acknowledge the fact that by the Bezichin, it does say the word Bayom, and it repeats the word Bayom, which means that it should be later on. So what does that mean? In other words, basically we have forces opposing one another. One force would indicate that it should be earlier. That's the Gzeir Shava. Another force that it should be later. That's the Drush of Bayom Bayom. So basically it balances out where it's going to be a little bit later, meaning it's not going to be with the Chavitin. It'll be done a little bit later, but it will be done a little bit earlier, i.e. it's done before the Musaf. Okay. Gitar Shashach, Ahaitza Kreva, Binam Le'Evarim. We're done. We're not done, but in other words, as far as Abaye's presentation of the Seder Hayom, so which was presented in Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, so here in Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, we're about halfway down, so the Gemara now has gone through every step along the way and basically presented the Mekoros for each one of the steps of Abaye's Seder. The Gemara now is going to continue. The Gemara goes all the way back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that the Ketoros HaShachar Haisa Kreva Meinan Le'Evarim, that when is the Ketoros of the morning being offered? So between Dam and Evarim. Okay, the Gemara over here is going to struggle just a little bit in terms of identifying who the author of our Mishnah is, because as we already pointed out a number of times, a machlokes between Abishol and the Chachamim in terms of what was the intermission that was done between the Neros. So over here in our Mishnah seems to sidestep that whole issue, because the Mishnah says when the Ketoros is done is between Dam and Evarim. The Mishnah makes no mention whatsoever about the Ketoros relative to the menorah. And so money, so the Gemara now is going to struggle just a little bit. Who is the author of our Mishnah? So I Rabbanan, so Ben Dam Leneros Ibayelei. So if our Mishnah was holding like the Chachamim, so then in terms of describing when the Ketoros would be done, so the Mishnah would describe the Ketoros being done Ben Dam Leneros, between the blood and the Neros. So the and that would be a accurate description according to the Chachamim in Abishol. Now, if our Mishnah was in fact following the Shita of Abishol, so then being Neros Le'Evarim Barley, so the Mishnah should have said between the Neros and the Evarim. So the Mishnah, by not mentioning Neros at all, is really just sidestepping and not taking a position in terms of whether we're following the Shita, whether our Mishnah is following the Shita of Abishol, that of the Chachamim. So La'olam Rabbani, so the Gemara says, no, the really truth of the matter is that our Mishnah is really following the Shita of the Chachamim. And Uvesidra Lo Kamayri, and the Gemara says something really somewhat amazing, and that is that the Mishnah was not giving us operatively what is the order of the Avoda. Now, I know that sounds a little bit strange. In other words, we've been focusing on the Seder of the Avoda now for over a blot of Gemara. Now, that part's true, but that wasn't the goal of the Mishnah. That was certainly the goal of Abaye, and that's what we've been doing the last daf discussing, but it's not been the goal of the Mishnah. In fact, if you go back to the Mishnah actually was just making a contrasting point, meaning if you go all the way back to the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, so you'll notice that the Ketoros HaShachar, that as far as the Ketoros HaShachar is concerned, Haisa Kreva Mein Dam Le'Evarim, it's offered between Dam and Evarim. Now again, relative to when, to the menorah, it doesn't say. But that's not the point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and in contrast that to the Shalbein Arabayim, meaning the Ketoros of the Shema of the afternoon, Bein Evarim L'Nesachim, that goes between the Evarim and Nesachim. So it's just contrasting that the Ketoros HaShachar is not the same as the Ketoros Shalbein Arabayim. You might have thought that there would be a symmetrical structure between the two, and the Mishnah is there to teach us, no, it's not. But in terms of specifically what the order of the Ketoros HaShachar was relative to the other avodas that were done in the morning, so the Mishnah was not keyed into that particular point. And so therefore, our Mishnah could in fact be going like the Shita of the Chachamim. The Mishnah doesn't mention anything about menorah. Yeah, that wasn't the goal of the Mishnah. Continuing, Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Vishal Bein Arabayim, Haisa Kreva Bein Evarim Nesachim, so Menahan Emili. The Gemara now wants to know that in the afternoon, so the Ketoros was offered between the burning of the limbs and the Nesachim. So the Gemara says, and the source for that, so Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Krav, Ki Minchas HaBoker, Chinis Ko Ta'asa. So Ma Minchas HaBoker, Ketoros Kodemus Nesachim. Now, when it comes to the morning, so the Ketoros is offered before the Nesachim, so af kan Ketoros kodemus Nesachim. So in the afternoon, Ketoros is going to be offered before the Nesachim. The Gemara asks the obvious question: Ima lahalin Ketoros kodemus le'evarim. So af kan Ketoros kodemus le'evarim. Look, if we're looking for symmetry between morning and the afternoon, so you know in the morning the Ketoros is offered before the evarim, so in the afternoon as well. So the Gemara says miksiv ke'evare haboker. The Gemara says, yeah, it's not a perfect symmetrical structure. And in fact, if you read the Pesukim, it's clear from the Pesukim that's not perfectly symmetrical, because the Torah describes how it's kemincha's haboker. And so the symmetry is only as it relates to the mincha, but not to the other aspects of the karban. So that means to say that as far as menachos is concerned, as far as the Nesachim is concerned, so in that regard it's the same, but not in terms of the Evarim. Good. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara now cites a Braisa, In terms of the nesachim that come together with the carbon, so how much wine? Minisko revi'i sahin. And its nesach is going to be a quarter of a hin. Okay, the amount of wine that goes in generally is standard amount of wine that comes together with a sheep, but the Gemara over here specifies it. Sorry, the pasuk in the Torah specifies it as it relates to the carbon tamid, which is a sheep, but it would be true by any carbon that comes from a sheep. So yulam shachas mishal arvis. Gemara says that as far as the pasuk is concerned, and Rashi makes this point very clearly, that if you look in the context in the psukim, so you'll see that the nesach over here being referenced to in the pasuk is talking about the tamashal bayin abayim, not shel tamashal shachar. So read through the psukim carefully. Read through the Rashi over here. It's going on the tamashal shachar. So according to the Tanakhama of this brisa, so how do I know how much wine we're talking about for the tamashal shachar? So yilamed. So we'll learn out the shel shachars from the shel arvis. It really is that simple. As we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis. Rebbe Omer Avis Mishal Shachris. Now Rebbe says that no, it's going to go in the other direction. Meaning we know the Shal Shachris and then we just simply apply it to the Arvis. Now Bishlam, the Rabban in the Gemara says, look, for the Chachamim, it makes a lot more sense. Because Hai B'tam Shal Ben Arabayim Ksiv. So again, a point I just made. Go back to the Pesukim, look carefully at the Pesukim and you'll see that in the context, the Nisko, its Nesach is talking about the Tamashal Ben Arbaim. So, Ella Rebbe, my timer. So to argue that the Torah is giving us the quantity for the Tamashal Ben Arbaim, from there we learn out to the Tamashal Shachar, that's obvious, but according to Rebbe, how exactly is this working? Meaning that's not the context of the Pasuk. So, Amar Rava Bar Ula, Amar Karla, Keves Ha'echad. So when it says that you're going to be offering it for the keves ha'echad ezu keves shenemar bo'echad, ha'viyomer is a tamashal shachar. Okay, so even though, yes, you're right, contextually it sounds like we're talking about the tamashal ben arabayim, but there is a couple of other clues, notably the word echad, that tells us that we're talking about the tamashal shachar. The word echad is specific to shachar. V'rabbanan mai echad. Now for the chachamim, what do they do with the word echad? Miyucha shebe'edro. No, echad over here just simply means that it has to be miyucha, it has to be special. V'rebi. Mivchar nidarecha or nidrechem nafka. And as far as Rebbe is concerned, you go to Parshas Re and you'll see that the Torah there says that it has to be the best of unidarim. Meaning the fact that the carbon has to come from quality animals. So we have another pasuk in Parshas Re that tells us it's halacha. Virabana, now as far as the chachamim are concerned, chad b'chova v'chad b'nedava u'tzricha. Now, I need a pasuk by chova. I need a pasuk by nedava. Tamid is obviously a chova. The pasuk in Re are talking about a carbon nedava. And I need Psukim to tell me that it has to be Mevchar, it has to be the best in both, both by Echova and by Nadava as well. Why does the Torah have to mention it both? Why can't it just simply mention it by one? And we can easily extrapolate to the other as well. So here, take a look at the top Rashi. Rashi over here, gives us some svaras in terms of, why I might have thought differently. You could see the second Rashi on the top of the Amud Beis. Yeshad notesha hanedav tzarich liyafosa kedesh shetisratzel daron v'hakpalas panim. So on one hand, if I'm giving a gift, so you can imagine that I'm giving a gift, I'm trying to impress. So if it's in a dava, which is obviously voluntary, it's obviously a gift, so you want to try to impress. On the other hand, yeshad notel lomar shachovam hamutelas tzarich lifra chovam mishalom. On the other hand, if you have an obligation, so you can make an argument that it's something that you're obligated to give, so you want to make sure that, look, you have to give this. This is something that needs to look good. In other words, this is part of your job. This is part of what we need to do. So the Gemara just simply argues that you can go in either direction. If I only had one drasha that tells us that it has to be the best, it has to be miyuchad, so I might have thought that I applied only to chova or only to nedava using either one of the arguments of Rashi. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Im hayakon gadol zaken o istanis. So here now, as we approach the Mishnah, the Gemara is quoting from the end of the Mishnah in terms of what happens if the Kohen Gadol is either old or he's just simply delicate. So under those circumstances, what do we do in order to help the Kohen who's going to be toveling in what could be a really cold mikvah? So in our Mishnah, we already were given the input, the Eitzah, of putting in a little bit of hot water. And when you put a little bit of hot water, so it'll mitigate. It'll take off the chill of the of the mikvah. The Gemara now is going to be quoting a brayse, the Tanya we learned in the brayse, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ashash Yoshua Barza Hayu Mechame Meir of Yom Kippurim, Umatil in the Soch Sonein, Kedesh Tav Vixin Hasan. So here in the brayse, according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, it's very similar to our Mishnah, but with one notable difference. Instead of pouring hot water into the mikvah in order to take off the chill, so here in the brayse, so Rabbi Yehuda says that what they did is that they took hot metal, they heated it up before Yantav. You can't heat it up on Yantav itself. They heat it up before Yantav, and they threw it into the mikvah in order to take off the chill. Now, over here, the Gemara of his blood is going to be bothered because this is going to be somewhat more halachically precarious than that which we suggest in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we talked about just dumping a little bit of hot water into the cold water. So there's no halachic, problem with that whatsoever. The hot water is going to be cooled down. That's fine. There's no problem with that. The cold water is not going to get heated up. You're just simply taking the chill away. So there literally is no problem with bishul whatsoever. Over here, however, when you're taking hot metal rods and you're pouring it and you're putting it into cold water, so what you're doing is the Gemara is about to describe is what's called siruf. In other words, basically what you're doing is you're hardening those metal bars. And that's basically part of the activity of a blacksmith. A blacksmith, after heating it up, so he cools it down, and by cooling it down, so now you're basically hardening it. So the Gemara says, so aren't we hardening it? And presumably what the Gemara here means is that it's a subcategory of Makeh Bepatish. V'halom etzarif. So the Gemara says, so aren't we doing Siruf? So the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Rabibi, the first of the two answers of the Gemara, Rabibi Shalom Yigil of Siruf. So the Gemara says, look, it doesn't hit the threshold, meaning that there's a certain threshold that you need in order for it to be considered Siruf, and we didn't hit the threshold. The Gemara is either describing how the iron is never get to the point where it's hot enough where cooling it down is going to create siruf, or maybe even after it was heated up, maybe it was already cooled off to a certain degree. Remember, it was heated up before yantiv, and then you put it on in yantiv, so it was cooled down already to the point where it's not considered siruf. Whatever the case is, Rabibi saying is that it just doesn't hit the threshold of siruf. Abai Amar, Abai says, Afilotema shihi gil siruf. Abai says, no, let's assume that siruf occurred, that there's enough of the hardening of the metal, where this would be an act of siruf, and still it would be okay. Why? Because davar she'eino miskaven mutter. Because this falls under the category of a davar she'eino miskaven. It's something that you did not intend to happen. And we know that throughout Shas, a davar she'eino miskaven, if something was not your intention, so specifically as it applies to Shabbos, although the truth of the matter is that davar she'eino miskaven is really also a global discussion to be had regarding Kola Torah Kula, but right now let's just discuss it in the context of Shabbos, and in this case, in the context of Yom Kippur. So we know that a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. Now the truth of the matter is, it's the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, whether a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter or aser. Rabbi Shimon says mutter, Rabbi Yehuda says it's aser. And the Gemara obviously right now is assuming that we're going like Rabbi Shimon, that davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. A consideration which the Gemara does not have over here is that davar she'eino miskaven is mutter according to Rabbi Shimon, but that's only if that which you didn't intend is not inevitable. However, if the unintended consequence is inevitable, this is what's called the psik resha. And we know the Gemara says throughout Shas that when it comes to a psik resha, when something is inevitable, like cutting off the head of a chicken, where the person says, look, I didn't mean to kill the chicken, I just simply want my child to play with the chicken head or the chicken body. So that is, the Gemara describes that as a classic example of a psik resha, where literally the words means you cut off the head. So psik resha v'lo yamas, if I cut off the head, is the chicken not going to die? That's the expression the Gemara says. So over here, if in fact siruf is occurring and the Gemara is arguing that it's a davar she'eino miskaven, that it's not your intention, but still if it's a psik resha, sure, it still should be a problem. The Gemara does not raise that as an issue. Now, why doesn't the Gemara raise that as an issue? So the Rishonim already discussed it. The discussion can get very long. We're going to bypass the discussion for now. I'm just acknowledging that the Gemara is ignoring the issue of psik resha. Omi amar abaye hachit, the Gemara says, okay, but in order for Abaye to say this, so the Gemara says, I'm bothered because we also have another statement by Abaye, which does not seem to be in agreement. V'atayim, when there's an abrisa, b'sara l'so. The Torah says that when it comes to the mitzvah of milah, so you have to cut off the arla. And by virtue of the fact that the Torah says the words b'sar arla so, you're cutting off the flesh of the arla. So what is it? It sounds like an extraneous word. What does it mean, b'sar arla so? So I feel even if there's a tzaras on the makam milah, so it's going to be cut off as well. Just a little bit of background over here in order to really appreciate the Gemara in terms of what the Chiddush is. So a couple things. First of all, we know that there's a mitzvah of milah, the baby boy, on the eighth day, so you cut off the arla. That part we all knew. The part which we don't all know, but hopefully we'll know in just a moment, is that if there is a tzaras on any part of a body of any part of a person, so one is not allowed to cut off the beharis, one is not allowed to cut off the tzaras. Meaning if you see tzaras on your skin, so the only course of action is to show it to a kohen and have the kohen decide whether it's tzaras that's metame or it's tzaras which is tahor. But in other words, but that's the only course of action. The Torah says hishamer b'negat tzaras, that you have to be careful, but it's more than just have to be careful. The word hishamer indicates that to love. It's being negative prohibition of the Torah to go ahead and to remove and to excise the tzaras from your skin. So there is an isur daraisa lav min haTorah, that one is not allowed to cut off the tzaras. So Torah says, what happens now when this mitzvah of milah and the isur of tzaras go ahead and clash with one another? I.e., there is tzaras on the makom milah. Now I know we're talking about a baby, 8 days of age, and what did the baby do in order to deserve, in order to warrant the tzaras to be on his skin? So a couple of things. First of all, the idea that tzaras comes only because a person is an avarian. So yes, we have a number of gemaras that support that and suggest that. The Gemara in Erechin discusses it in more detail. But it could very well be that tzaras comes not only for the chote, but tzaras comes even for somebody who's not a chote. The Gemara gives a number of averus that a person gets tzaras for. So in other words, I know in our heads we always have it that tzaras lashon hara, tzaras lashon hara. And yes, the Gemara in Erechin does say that, but there are other averus as well. And we can add also that that tzaras can come even without an avera. So certainly, you would have to suggest something like that in order to explain how an infant, an 8-day-old, has tzaras on his skin, and obviously he didn't do anything to deserve it or to warrant it. Anyway, the basic point is that when I have tzaras and the makom milah, so now you have two competing values. One, hishamer b'neged tzaras. Two is that you have to do a milah. So what do you do? So the Gemara says is that we have a drasha that when the Torah says that uviyamashmini imol is b'sar arlaso, so the b'sar arlaso tells us that you do the milah. Afapi, even though you have the tzaras but makom milah. So, Div Rabbi Yoshia, this is the Shita of Rabbi Yoshia. And yes, this is obviously connected to the idea of Esei Doche Lo Satzei. The positive commandment is going to override the negative prohibition. But anyway, so V'havina Bakrama Lamali. But now the Gemara says, look, on this drasha of Rabbi Yoshia, so it's a little bit difficult. It's a little bit challenging. Meaning, why do I need a drasha? Meaning, are you intent on cutting off the tzaras? Obviously, that's not your intention. Yes, it's a consequence, but it's not your intention. Your intention is just simply due to the mitzvah milah. Doesn't this fall under the category of a davar sheino miskaven? The Amar Abaye, and on this Abaye's comment was, L'Rev Yehuda damar davar sheino miskaven asur. According to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that a davar sheino miskaven is going to be asur. So for that, I need the drasha over here. Because I might have thought that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be asur to do so. So the drasha tells me that it's not asur to do so. Okay, now what comes out is the following, meaning let's put everything together. So it comes out now that according to Abaye, his explanation with Rav Yehuda is that even by davar sheino miskaven, one is not allowed to violate the Torah by davar sheino miskaven, unless there's a specific drasha that says it's okay. So when you have Mila and Tzara'as, and the Torah says that you're not allowed to cut the Tzara'as, even though it's a davar sheino miskaven, it would have been Asr, Had it not been for the case, for the fact that we had a drasha over there that says it's okay. But otherwise, the full position is that even by davar sheino miskaven, you cannot violate the Torah, even by davar sheino miskaven. Again, all this is assuming we subscribe to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So over here now, the Gemara says that when we have the metal bars that we're putting into the mikvah, the hot metal bars, and we're hardening the bars by cooling them down so quickly by putting them in the cold mikvah, and we're doing the act of tzirif, and it's a davar sheino miskaven, it should be asr. Meaning, if you subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, it should be asr. And yet, the Braisa says that it's mutter, and the Gemara says, I'm really bothered by that. And all this really presents a larger problem according to Abaye, because Abaye says that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, davar sheino miskaven would be mutter, and meanwhile, it's clear over here that davar sheino miskaven is going to be usher. So this all presents a problem. To which the Gemara's response is, Hani mili b'chol, b'chol HaTorah kula. Yes, that's true. That a davar shenem miskaven creates a problem with the issers and issermen of Torah. Aval hacha tziruf derabanan hu. But over here, we're talking about tziruf derabanan. So what exactly does that mean? So Rashi over here doesn't say. But Tosus b'shem Rashi over here, Tosus over here is really long. You can see Tosus taking us through the entirety of this Amud. And the truth of the matter is that Tosus goes well into tomorrow's daf as well. So, but right now I'm just presenting, Tosus' understanding of Rashi. And that is over here, we're not talking about Issa Daraisa, we're talking about Issa Darabana. What do you mean? Siruf is Maka Bepatish, isn't it Issa Daraisa? So again, Tosus' understanding of Rashi is that in this case it's not Issa Daraisa. Why not? Because in order to violate Maka Bepatish, what you have to do is you have to make a kli and put the finishing touch on the kli. All we're doing is we're taking metal bars that were heated up and we're cooling them down. Yes, it's true, we're hardening them. And yes, that's the act that's done by a blacksmith. But nevertheless, in this particular case, you are merely cooling them down, but you're not making a kli. Meaning the metal is not fashioned into a particular kli. You're just simply going through the process of hardening it, which is an iser derabanan of tziruf, as it's very similar to real tziruf had you actually made a kli. But because you didn't make a kli, so it's not iser of tziruf deraisa, it is only an exera derabanan, a malacha derabanan of tziruf derabanan. Good. So that is Rashi, that's Tosus' understanding of Rashi in terms of what the Gemara over here is allowing it, it would be a tziruf derabanan. What then would come out then, as far as the conclusion of the Gemara, according to Rashi, is that even if I have a davar sheni miskaven, and even if I subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda, the davar sheni miskaven is asur, but if it's an iser derabanan, so then it would be mutter. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. Okay, Tosus has a lengthy discussion, has a lot to say regarding whether this is correct, that a davar sheni miskaven by an iser derabanan would be mutter under all circumstances, as the Gemara would indicate over here, as Rashi understands it over here. So good. So that's where Tosus has an extraordinarily lengthy discussion. But anyway, that's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. We're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah, and let's quickly recap a short daf. Number one. The Gemara finished off the Seder Maracha, the order of the Avoda as presented in Lam Gimel Amud Aleph by a Seder. So we went through a couple of more follow up questions in terms of the Seder. Why, when we're doing the Menorah, why do we do five, then take an intermission and then do two? Why not do it in any other order? So the Gemara says it's based on the fact that you have to do the majority. If you're doing the majority, why not do six? So the Gemara says because you need also a plural at the end. So that's why it comes out to five and two. Ketaros Yevarim, followed by Yevarim, then by Mincha. The Gemara gives sources for why specifically these orders. Mincha to Chavitim to Nusachim, and Nusachim to Musafim. On this last sequence of Nusachim to Musafim, so the Gemara knows that there's a brisa that says that there's an opinion that says that it shouldn't be Nusachim Musafim, but rather just the opposite, Musafim Bazich, and the Gemara gives svaras in either direction. Sorry. Nusachim Musafim, sorry. That was clear. Musafim Bazichin, subject to a machlokas hatanayim in terms of what should be the correct order, and the Gemara gives svaras in both directions. The Mishnah that says that the Ketar Shel Shachar was between Dam and the Ivarim, so the Mishnah doesn't mention anything whatsoever in terms of Ketores as it relates to the menorah. And so therefore the Mishnah doesn't really seem to be showing its cards in terms of whether it subscribes to the Chachamim or subscribes to Abishal. The Gemara says that the easiest way to read the Mishnah is that it's going like the Chachamim. The order is not perfectly aligned with the Shita of the Chachamim. The Gemara says that wasn't the goal, that wasn't the purpose of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was just simply to contrast the Ketores of the morning and the Ketores of the afternoon, and they're not the same. Which then leads us to the next Gemara, why exactly are they not the same? The Gemara gives us the drasha, keminchas haboker. Keminchas haboker velo keivari haboker. Okay, we have a drasha that tells us why the ketores of the morning is not exactly like the ketores of the afternoon. Then the Gemara talks about the amount of wine necessary for the nesachim. It's a revi'a sehin. We're talking about the carbon tamid, we're talking about a sheep, so it's going to be a revi'a sehin. Do we learn it from the carbon tamid to the do we learn from the Tamei Shel Shachar to the Tamei Shel Bein Arbaim? Do we learn from the Tamei Shel Bein Arbaim to the to Tamei Shel Shachar? So the Gemara goes back and forth on this very issue. And then finally, last big discussion of the Daf on Lamed Aleph Beis is the Braisa, the variant Braisa, much like our Mishnah describing how exactly we're going to take the chill out of the water. Our Mishnah says is that you're going to put in a little bit of hot water. The Braisa says that you're actually going to put in hot iron metal bars in order to take the chill out of the water. The Braisa becomes much more exciting and a little bit more controversial because the Braisa here is talking basically about putting hot iron bars into the water. And isn't that going to be hardening the ironing bar, the iron bars? The Gemara describes it as serif, probably some sort of subcategory, some division of Makeh B'Patish. And obviously that would be usher to do on Shabbos. And over here on Yom Kippur, same as Shabbos, it would be usher. And how is it would be okay? So the Gemara makes the argument that it's the Davish and Miskaven. Davish and Miskaven, remember, we're holding like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Davish and Miskaven is usher, so how could it be okay? So the Gemara's answer, as Rashi presents it, that's the Davish and Miskaven by Nisad Rabbanan. You're not really making a kli. In other words, yes, it's true, you're hardening the metal, but you're not making a kli. So this is not a Davish and Miskaven. And an Issa Daraisa, it's only a Davish and Miskaven, an Issa Darabanan, and that would be Mutter. Again, that is Rashi's reading of the Gemara's conclusion. Tosas has a lot to say about it, so obviously before arriving at any given conclusion, so obviously the it is incredibly important to go through a lot more than what we just covered over here in the little more than half an hour that we did in covering the daf. We'll pick it up with the Mishnah.